We hope you enjoyed this teaching by Pastor Steve Kelly and Wave Church. We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching, and we believe that it will enrich and empower your life.
Praise the Lord. Come on, let's pray. Father, thank you for Vision Sunday. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in and through Wave Church. And Lord, I pray today that we would hear from heaven clearly and understand, Lord, what the mission and the vision of your kingdom is and how you want it expressed throughout Wave Church. And everybody said, amen. Now, before you sit down, I'm offended by this thing. Look what they've done. They've taken this beautiful face and they've, look at the, this one's better, but look at the crow's feet in the eyes. I was preaching at Seaboard this morning, and I looked at it, and I got a shock. And so anyway, Josh, come up here for a minute, buddy. Come up here. I just thought I might give you a chance I think you kicked me this morning. Is that right? Did anybody notice he kicked me this morning? How many felt like that was just really over-familiar? How many thought that was appropriate after all the hard time I give him? Are you ready for this? Just one more. Just. Here we go. Come on, show me what you do. Wow, he got me. Turn to five people, give them a little push, and say, get in the game as you're being seated. All right, yeah, thank you, guys. You're awesome. Come on, give someone else a little, just turn to the person next to you and say, get in the game. We're talking live this morning, first Sunday of the month. We talk to all of our campuses on the first Sunday of every month. Of course, this week is a big week. It's Vision Sunday. For what is the vision of Wave Church, and I just want to encourage you today. I really feel like our team have found a collective wisdom in expressing what God's put in my heart for this year by this thought, get in the game. And so I want to show you in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2. Excuse me, that's my coffee. Then the Lord answered me, excuse me, write the vision and make it plain on tablets. So he may run who reads it. For still the vision awaits to an appointed time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. And I know this morning I'm speaking to all of our campuses, our Wave Los Angeles campus, our Wilson and Greenville campus. I know this morning I'm speaking live to our Richmond campus, our Norfolk campus, our Seaboard Road campus, and of course to all of you. And let me tell you, for all that God's done in 21 years of Wave Church, it's been a lot, hasn't it? When you think about how far we've come in the last 21 years, I'm not saying the church is only 21 years old, but for Sharon and I being here and leading and stewarding the vision of senior pastors, let me tell you, we've come a long way. From the early days of just having a rented property here, and we were able to buy the building, acquire more land, build what we've built, our children's center, our Wave Church, what we call also a convention center, when we make it available to the public, and then to think about what we've done on Seaboard Road, paid off the debt, and we've built a building down there, and we've built a building in Norfolk, and it's debt-free, Seaboard Road's debt-free. There is, of course, a nice little mortgage on this facility, but it's all good. Everything's good. You with me here? And yet I think about, though it delay, it speaks to an end. How many know we still have a youth center to build? Though it delay, wait for it, it will come. And for Seaboard Road, of course, on that 31 acres, we want to see all that's going to be built here, built down there with a chapel, because there's room for it on the property with some other things that we want to do. And for all of our campuses, for all of our facilities, and we're believing God for a miracle for Richmond, aren't we? Amen. And we're believing God for provision and breakthroughs and miracles for all of our campuses in Jesus' name. And we're believing for more. And even though it's so much, I also understand this verse when it says, listen to it, though it delays, wait for it, it will come. It speaks to an end. And I want to give you today what we want to do in these next 12 months in our campuses that I believe is the vision and mission of Wave Church, who we are and what's going to, and it's the end in mind that we know is coming, but this is what we're going to do this year. So a God vision is written down. Number one, and I want to say this to you, catch this now, what I'm about to say to you here is true from Scripture, how we've modeled casting vision in Wave Church. And it's not just some corporate vision, but what I'm sharing with you actually can be a great plan from the Word of God, how you can build a vision for your marriage, amen, how you can build a vision for your health, for your job, for your future, for your finances. Come on, somebody. And this is great principles for not just a corporate vision, but we learn how to actually see God bring the vision for our lives to come to pass. One of the problems I actually contend with, which is a bit of a layover from the Catholic Church, is this, that we have this idea in the church that there's clergy and there's laity. Clergy are the professionals and the laity are all the people who just come to church and watch the clergy do what they do. But the New Testament does not teach that. The New Testament teaches we're all ministers. The New Testament does say that he gave some to be apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists, to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. And what you do at work, what you do in college or education, what you do in science or sport or medicine or business is just as much anointed by God and ministry as what the pastor does. Are you hearing me? The sum, the saint, the people who God's gifted to lead the church are there to equip you to do the work of the ministry. So it's not come and what now? God's anointed me, but God's anointed Tim Tebow, Kanye West. Amen. I pray that remains. I pray that gets stronger. I pray that he continues to do great things to sweep people into the kingdom of God. Who can say amen to that? And so I just want to say to you, we're all in ministry and we've got to learn how to live our life with vision. And so we don't have a youth vision and a worship vision or a women's vision and a Wave City Care vision or an individual campus vision. We have one vision and it's outworked and expressed through the departments and the campuses. Who can say amen to that? It's one vision. If there's two visions, it's division. And so as a church, everybody would know that the theme, the reason why Wave Church exists, if you want to be writing down a vision, making it plain so he that runs may read, listen to what it is. It's to get heaven to celebrate. Amen. To bring people who are lost and away from God to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And then not just to leave them there, but to help them to find their purpose, to make a difference, to find community. That's the vision of Wave Church. Amen. And what we want to do is just explain to you what that looks like in Scripture. So everybody say, get in the game. So number one, you got to get in the game. You got to get on the winning team. And it ain't the New York Jets this year. I mean, they're winners. They're professional footballers. But this year, it's either going to be the Chiefs or the 49ers. Well, in the church, listen to what Jesus said. I tell you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Can I tell you something? The moment you set foot into God's house and part of the church, and Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell won't prevail against it, and you're a part of the local church, you're on the winning team. And I don't know about you, but I want to devote my life to building the one thing that hell won't prevail against. And that is what Christ is building. And what is he building? The church. Somebody say amen. So the Apostle Paul has a lot to say about this idea of, like, in for people in the church, that to look at yourself as a Christian belonging to the church you belong to as somebody who's in the game. Listen to what he says in 1 Corinthians 9. Verse 24, don't you know that in a race, all runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way to get the prize. Listen to verse 25. Everyone who competes in the games goes in the strict training, and they do it to get a crown that will not last. But we do it to get a crown that'll last forever. Here's Paul talking to the Corinthians. People, the Corinthian church. And he's going, come on, guys, you need to see yourself as being in a race, as being somebody who's in a race, and you're not just in it to participate, but you're in it to win. Run to win. Compete to win. And we're not racing each other and competing with each other, but we're going to run our race with vision, and we're going to do it to win. Are you catching it? And so here he talks about the athlete in the world, his crown is only temporal. But what we do as Christians in the game, building the church, is we do this for eternal purposes. We do this for, and it's like Eric Liddell in the Chariots of Fire. You remember this, that movie, and it's based on a true story of a man who had the success depression syndrome. For his goal was that of temporal. He wanted to win a gold medal, which he did do at the Olympics. But when he got it, and everything of his life and everything of his dream and everything of his aspirations was to get the gold medal. And once he got it, what did he have? There was no more dream. He had nothing else to live for, and he went into a spiral of depression. But my friends, when we are a part of the church, we're pursuing a crown that goes for eternity in Jesus' name. Amen? One thing's for sure, when you have a vision, you wear the restraint of that vision. I think about Michael Phelps. This is not a judgment on Michael Phelps. I love Michael Phelps. But you know the story. He won more gold medals than any swimmer in the history of the Olympics. And I remember praying for him because I also am aware of that success syndrome. What else is there to live for? And just for a little season there, his life got a little wayward and he got himself in trouble with the police and with some drugs and wrong associations, because you got to have a vision that's beyond the temporal. You got to have a vision beyond your own personal accomplishments. It's got to be eternal. Can anybody say amen? Listen to what Paul said to Timothy. Similarly, anyone who competes as an athlete does not receive the victor's crown except by competing according to the rules. In other words, you got to wear the restraint of that vision. Amen? How many know? I mean, people say all the time, oh, do you know that church down the road? They're doing this. Well, that's great, but we're not that church down the road. We're Wave Church, and we're asking people to wear the restraint of the vision that God has given Wave Church. Are you catching it now? And you wear the restraint of that vision, and you stay true to the restraint. Listen to what Paul said to Timothy again, writing to Timothy, the leader of the New Testament church, and he's trying to help Timothy to understand how this works. And he goes, no soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. So let me give you this in another sense. I don't know who wrote the book of Hebrews, but here's the thought, and we're hearing. Jesus is building his church, and we're in a race, and we're in this race to win it. Amen? And we're doing it for eternal consequences, not just temporary accomplishments in our own lives. Wave Church vision is to see heaven party, to see people find a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and then help them begin to grow in their God gifting, discover their purpose, come on, to make a difference, to find community. That's the vision of Wave Church. Well, Pastor, I hear over in this church they've got gold dust coming out of the ceiling and people are falling out under the glory, and there's all these, and I go, great, but this is who we are. We're here to reach lost people. So listen to what Paul says. He goes, therefore, not Paul. Paul is what they said the other. This is the writer of Hebrews. I don't know who wrote it. There, I think it's a combination of people, and I think Paul could have been one of them. Therefore, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, and he's talking about the cloud of witnesses as all those in Hebrews chapter 11, all those what I call the Hall of Fame. It's all the great men and women who lived a life of faith who've gone now from this world to heaven. And the Bible tells us they're sitting in the bleachers of heaven. They're in a coliseum. They're in the grandstands. And now we are surrounded by them. If I could pull open the roof of this building, if I could pull open the roof of the facility and the campus you're sitting in this morning, and I could open this three-dimensional world and give you an insight into the spirit realm, which is more real, more solid, more tangible than the temporary world in which we live, you would see a coliseum, a grandstand of everybody in Hebrews chapter 11 sitting there saying, come on. This is your day. You're in the race. You're running. And they'd be saying, get in the game. Don't be just sitting on your blessed assurance. Get involved. Run your race. Jesus is building his church. Be a part of the church. Just by you being here this morning, success starts on Sunday. It's the first day of the week, and what you do with the first redeems the rest. You're already off to a great start in your week because you're in God's house. And here they are saying, come on. People, oh, God, it's hard. No one listens to me. Nobody believes me. Imagine what Noah would say to you. Nobody believed me. I told them it was going to rain. They'd never heard of rain. They'd never seen rain, but it rained. Oh, God, it's hard. I've been accused. I've been beaten. I'm oppressed. What would Joseph say if I could show you him out of the grandstand of heaven? Come on, it was hard for me, but in one day, God took me from the prison to the palace, and God was in the 18 years of developing me. They'd be saying, I believe this is the church's Father's Day. I believe this is our day. This is our hour. They're in heaven, and they're cheering you on. They're cheering me on. Get in the game. Get involved. Amen. It says we're surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Isn't that true? Everything that hinders and the sin. I mean, I listen to the Apostle Paul as he writes. I love what he says. I relate to him. The things that I should do, I don't do. I mean, fasting these last 21 days. It is hilarious how many days I woke up and decided I'll begin my fast today. And then just without even thinking, found myself eating breakfast. Have I got any friends? Sometimes it's taken me a month to do a 3-day fast. The things that I should do, I don't do. And the things that I shouldn't do, I do. How many relate to the Apostle Paul? Oh, you pack of liars. How many of you relate to the Apostle Paul? Amen. The things you share, man, Paul says, it's so easy to get entangled. And it is. It is. That just came out all bad, didn't it?
It is.
I mean, and Paul's writing, come on. There's people testifying. Come on. Run your race. Run to win. You're not in it just to participate. You're a winner. Let me give you a Steve Kelly translation. Of the 40 million sperm that race for the egg, you won. You were born a winner. Some of you will get that later. So here we go. Those who are in the game know how God's will works. And if you're not involved, you'll never know the will of God for your life. I want you to hear it now. Watch this. Psalm 37, verse 5. It says in verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Now, here's the thing. I ask people all the time, what do you want to do? What do you want to do with your life? And this is what they say. It so frustrates me. I just want to do what God wants me to do. Wonderful, but that's not the right answer. It's the right question, but it needs to be answered. And the answer is, yes, we all want to do what God wants us to do. But the Bible says if you delight yourself in the Lord, the desires you have will be God-given. In other words, they won't be your desires, they'll be his desires. So you've got to know what the desires, you've got to know what the desires of your heart are. Amen? You catching this? So that you know what God put in you. Now that's conditioned upon you delighting yourself in the Lord. That's not saying if you delight yourself in God and God, I just want to go off and do whatever the heck I want to do and pray that you bless it. Well, of course, that's ridiculous. That's not going to work. But if you delight yourself in God, live according to the word and the wisdom of God, and you take pleasure in doing the word and the wisdom of God, then the desires you have are not your desires. They're God-given. If you have a desire to be a songwriter, a business person in science or medicine or education or in sport, can I tell you, you love the Lord and you have that desire. Those desires are given to you by God. That's how you find God's will. Listen to what the Bible also says. It says, Colossians 3, verse 15, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Again, this thought about getting the game, catch it. Peace of God, rule, in the Greek, it literally means umpire. That word rule literally means be the referee. We're talking about getting in the game. We're talking about running to win. We're talking about for eternal consequences. Are you hearing me? Are you catching this? And I want you to hear the umpire. How many know that the umpire, tonight when you watch the Super Bowl, if you're interested, and I am, and I will watch it, amen, I love football. It is the will of God to play football. It is the will of God to eat as much food as you can. Only wear sweatpants, because the more you eat, you don't have to undo the belt. Now watch. He's not going, excuse me, you're sitting in the wrong seat up there in the spectators. The referee's never interested in anybody who's not on the field. He's only calling the shots if you're in the game. He's not even paying attention to who's on the sideline. He's not going, excuse me, you don't have your helmet on. He's only interested if you're on the field. So you will never know what the will of God is unless you're doing something. Unless you're involved. Two-thirds of God's name is go. What are you praying about? Well, I don't know if I should be in a community group. I don't know if I should serve. I don't know if I'm a leader. Hey, can I tell you something? This is what the Bible says. Catch it now. Let the peace of God. Now, if you get on the field, I live my life, and I don't mean this arrogantly, but I mean this humbly, living my life as I'm in the will of God. And if I'm on the field doing what I believe God's called me to do, recognizing the desires of my heart are God-given, and I'm building what Christ is building, then I believe if I ever make a mistake, as long as I'm on the field, the Holy Spirit is going to be the referee that's going to make a call. Are you catching it? But you'll never hear from the referee unless you're on the field. So get involved. Amen. Well, I don't know what God's called me to. Just get involved somewhere. Look what the Bible says, Psalm 16, verse 3. Commit your works to the Lord and your thoughts will be established. Amen. There's nothing worse than a couch potato trying to tell some footballer tonight and you're watching the Super Bowl, eating your chips and drinking soda. Are you hearing me? And you're there with ketchup running down your shirt from the hot dog. Are you hearing me? And dipping into your nachos with extra sour cream with cheese melted all over it. How many just getting hungry right now and want to leave church? And you sit there going, how could he not catch that ball? Well, you try getting on the field about to catch a ball, and there's a 300-pound man running straight at you. People come to me, you know what you need to do in this church, Pastor? And I'm going, are you involved? No, not listening. Listen to it. Commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. If you're not in the game, you're a couch potato. Come on, somebody. Jesus said, I tell you, in the same way, there'll be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. I want to wrap this up for you for the sake of time. And I talked in our campuses already in the earlier services about some of the initiatives that we're rolling out, and we'll be rolling those out with our campus pastors. Some great things happening in each and every one of our campuses. I'm just trying to say to you, get in the game. And I want you to hear, I remember when I first gave my life to Jesus, you see, I wasn't of much use to the church. I was a very confused, very wild, very broken young man. I've been drinking in bars and clubs since the age of 12. At the age of 17, I gave my life to Jesus, and the legal drinking limit in Australia was 18. Here it's 21. And so by the time I was 17, I had lived a pretty wild, reckless, broken life. Alcoholic parents. My father was an addiction of gambling, and that was a whole nother story in and of itself. A lot of pain, a lot of blood on the walls, a lot of heartache, a lot of hardship. And I went straight down that path of being a rebel, rousing, crazy young man. I had done some things that I am not proud of. I had I remember when I gave my life to Jesus, the only thing I could do, can you believe this? You ready for this? Commit your works to the Lord, your thoughts will be established. I joined the choir. And as I joined the choir and I started singing, my thoughts were established. This is not my future. But I would never have known that until I made a decision to. But the truth is, that's all I could sign up for. No one's asking me to be a leader in the church. You with me here? They're just going, you know. My big goal was to stay sober. Are you hearing me? That was my big goal, was just to break the bondage of alcoholism that had been in my family for generations. I knew if I wasn't doing something for God's house, I'd be in the bar again. So I just joined the choir. We were a traveling choir, and it was called the Ambassadors Choir. And I remember we used to sing a song called, it was called the Ambassadors Choir. So we sung a song. You'll soon discover my singing gift is not really something that you'd be very excited to hear. And we used to sing it. We are ambassadors for Christ. We are ambassadors for Him. We are ambassadors for Christ. Ambassadors, ambassadors, ambassadors. It's not hard to get the words here, is it? Ambassador. And I remember as we were in a Catholic charismatic church and I'm singing that song, I want you here. I stood there racked under the weight and guilt of my sin. And the enemy came along, was more than happy to accommodate me, to remind me of the people I hurt, the fights I got in. I still to this day carry scars all over both hands from fights with people and punching them. I used to be a boxer I led people in the drugs and alcohol that still haven't come out of it. Some of my friends that I led into that are dead and no longer alive today. And I think about, I stood there and we're singing the song and I said, God, I'm just wretched. And I'm under the weight and the condemnation of all this sin. And I remember in the middle of the singing the song, God gave me a vision. I mean, a supernatural, eyes open, eyes closed vision. And I'm standing in this church and I'm looking out, I couldn't see anybody more. I saw me kneeling at the foot of the cross, just under this weight of condemnation. And the enemy reminded me of everything I'd ever done and thought, dear God, I'm filthy. I don't deserve to be here. When all of a sudden I saw myself at the foot of the cross and I could see Jesus, and here is Jesus on the cross, but He had His head turned from me and I was there. Then all of a sudden Jesus turned His head and He looked straight down at me and I looked into His eyes, and I'm telling you, I've never seen eyes like this. As He looked at me and He looked through me and He saw me, He saw me. He saw the sin, He saw the shame, He saw the guilt. And yet in that look, it was a love of, I love you, Steve. I see it all, but I love you. And my grace is sufficient for you, and you are forgiven. This is why I went to the cross, because you couldn't get yourself together, and I came for you. And I looked into His eyes, and I said, Jesus, I love you. Thank you. I didn't feel condemnation. I looked into the eyes of my Savior, and then a drop of blood came off His forehead from the crown of thorns in this vision, and it burst down over me, and it overwhelmed me and encompassed me, and I never felt so clean. And He did that not just for all the sins I'd committed before as a Christian, but some of you need to hear this, for the sins I'd committed even after as a Christian. Those who are in Christ, there is no condemnation. Come on. And that's my vision, that not one person should not have the opportunity to encounter a loving Savior, a powerful God. And I want to say to your church, get in the game. Come on. Don't just be a person that comes on Sundays. Can you say amen? I'm going to ask the campus pastors to share the different initiatives that we're going to do in each of the campuses. But let me just say this. How do you get in the game? And it's real simple. Just take your next step. What is your next step? I don't know what that is. Maybe for you, it's getting water baptized. Maybe it's going to a community group. Let me speak to you for a minute about that. Wave Church has 213 community groups. Last semester, we had 2,400 people in community groups. Do you know what I believe? I believe that should be 300 community groups with 3,000 people. And I want to encourage you today, Vision Sunday, why don't you get in the game? Maybe it's get filled with the Holy Spirit. Maybe it's get water baptized. Maybe it's serve on a team. Maybe it's go and get some marriage counseling. Get in the game. Maybe it's to get financial wisdom and how to get your finances in order. Maybe it's just to commit to legacy. Get in the game. Maybe, listen to this. I just want to say to you, and even when it comes to legacy, we're going to talk about a little bit more about that next week. We decided as an eldership that we actually want to actually not do a provision for the house offering in June. And what we're going to ask everybody in Wave Church in this process of getting in the game is think about what you would normally commit to legacy and what you would normally give to provision for the house, and make that your commitment for legacy this year, for it will include both. Does that make sense? Everybody clear on that? So we're not going to be doing a provision for the house. So think about what you did last year and just put those two commitments together. And over the course of this next 12 months to the year end, let's believe God, we're all going to do something. We'll talk more about that next year, but I want to make sure we understand. Just begin to prepare us in our thinking of what that looks like. If we all do that, we'll make sure that we're all in the game. And there's people who've never committed to legacy and have given to provision for the house. Why don't you make that your commitment for this next 12 months? Are you hearing me? And then it's just going to be one ask throughout the whole year, which I haven't think that's a good thing to do. I feel like as an eldership, we just feel like it was a good thing to do. It's just throughout the year, and then just we just want to get on reaching lost people in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Look at me. Look at me. Here's my vision for Wave Church. I want to be a multicultural, multi-generational church. I want everybody to walk out of church this morning, young or old, grandma and granddad driving out of their parking lot, and they were ministered to. I want maybe a married couple with some kids. Maybe you got some young people in our children's program. Maybe some young people in our middle school program. Maybe one's off to college somewhere. And everybody who came to Wave Church was ministered to. The children, the young people. I want this church to be multicultural, to be diverse. You look around Wave Church in Virginia Beach, I'm talking about right now. The demographics of our city, the demographics of Wave Church are greater than the demographics of diversity that's in our city. I love that, don't you? I want a Republican and a Democrat to be able to feel welcome in Wave Church. God is not a Republican, and God is not a Democrat. God's not even an American. Are you catching it? Amen? Everybody minister to. Rich, poor, black or white, policeman, drug dealer that hasn't found Jesus, but I want him to know he's welcome in the house. I want everyone to have a vision just like Jesus gave me. We would know him. The power of his resurrection. It is a shame that we don't preach on resurrection except for Easter, because it's the power of his resurrection that gives you future, that gives you life, that gives you a hope. So can I pray for you? Can I pray that you might meet Jesus this morning? I'm going to hand back to all of our campuses. They're going to come and talk to everybody, but I'm going to keep everybody online. You're going to stay with me. And everybody here under the sound of my voice in this wonderful campus, I'm believing God for growth this year in all of our campuses. And I don't just mean numerical growth, but I do mean that too. I'm believing God for supernatural growth this year in Jesus' name. How do we do it? We got to keep reaching lost people, and then we got to keep helping them get discipled and teaching them how to get in the game. But it starts with us, doesn't it? Look at me now. Do you know Jesus? Are you a Christian? Do you know what it is to be forgiven of your sins? I'd love to pray for you. I'd love to give you the opportunity to accept Christ. I'd love to give you the opportunity to come back to Jesus. I'll never forget that day, 17 years of age, kneeling at the foot of the cross in a vision and saw the love and the mercy and the kindness and the power and the majesty and the strength of Jesus. When he looked at me and says, I love you, son, and I have a plan and I have a purpose for your life. It's not to leave you there. It's to help you do things for me. My friend, he has a plan for you. It's never too late to get right with God. Who can say amen? Amen? It's never too late. I talked to a lady this morning. She goes, Pastor, I'll be 83. She goes, and in a few months, I'll be 84 if I'm still alive. I said, look at me, sweetheart. Your spirit's so strong. I don't even know that heaven's ready for you yet. She goes, well, as long as I'm alive, I'm going to pray. And I said, well, I pray you stay alive a long time if you're praying for me. Get in the game. Give your life to Jesus. Come back to God. Church, I want to pray for people this morning. Who's going to believe with me people are going to meet Jesus? Come on, heaven rejoices more. Who's believing with me people are going to meet Jesus? Oh, that people would have an understanding that Jesus loves them. He looks at you and he sees past your worst, and by seeing past your worst, he brings out your best. Can I pray for you? All over this building, I'm going to ask all of us to close our eyes and bow our heads. And friend, if that is you, you say, Steve, you're talking to me. Steve, I need to get right with God. Steve, I don't know him as you speak of. Steve, I've been away from God, but this morning I want to come home. All over this building, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. And if that's you, when you say, Steve, pray for me, everybody that's online, I want you to make that decision. And I want you right here, right now, to lift your hand and say, Steve, include me in that prayer. I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to get right with God. Come on, my friend, if that's you, lift your hand high enough and long enough for me to see it. That's it. Keep lifting them. God bless you. 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 Come on, where are you this morning? I want to pray with you and for you by raising your hand. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Come on, there are others here this morning. God bless you right there. God bless you right there. Each and every one of these is somebody raising their hand. God bless you right there. God bless you right there. God bless you right there. Come on, my last call. If you haven't lifted your hand, but you know you should, lift it now. Come on, lift it now. I'll pray with you. I'll pray for you. Thank you. I see two more hands. Church, can we now do what heaven's doing? Heaven rejoices more over one person who gets right with God than 99 people who don't need to. Give God some praise. Come on. Let them know this morning they're under the power of the blood of Jesus that removes sin, that removes guilt and condemnation. Oh God, I'm going to ask everybody to pray a prayer. Can we all pray this prayer together? Let's say it out loud. Say, Lord Jesus, I ask you today to come into my life, to make yourself real to me. I receive you now as my Lord and Savior. I believe in my heart. My sins are forgiven. I am a Christian. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you enjoyed this message by Pastor Steve Kelly. You can find more resources by Pastor Steve at stevekelly.tv and wavechurch.com.